From Studio F, high atop Feibusch Media World Headquarters, this is Top of the Tower, the Feibusch Media Podcast, episode number 6. I'm Scott Feibusch from Feibusch Media. Thank you for being with us for another week. We've got some interesting stuff for you in the next half hour or so. We will hear from Howard Price about the high school radio station he's setting up. Yes, a brand new high school radio station in 2017. And what he's doing makes a lot of sense, too. We'll talk to him about that. We'll hear from Steve West about airchecks.com and what he's doing over on that great site. And we kick off, of course, with some news. The breaking news on this Wednesday morning, if you're listening to us quasi-live, I guess, is that we are seeing the first of the spinoffs now from the upcoming Entercom-CBS radio merger. And what we are seeing right now is EMF Broadcasting, the K-Love people, paying $57.5 million to acquire stations that Entercom has to spin off in three markets. One of them is up here in the Northeast. It's not a station that you would probably notice unless you happen to be listening to the number one country station in Scranton, and you happen to be doing it on their secondary transmitter out to the west.
WGGY Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton. WGGI Benton, Bloomsburg. From the Vanscoy Diamond Mine Studio, this is Northeast PA's hometown station for today's best country, Froggy 101.
You hear that little WGGI Benton at the end there? Yep, that's a little Class A station that Entercom owns as part of Froggy 101.3. And that's being sold off. That's probably not a big part of the $57.5 million, we'd guess. The vast majority of that goes over to the Los Angeles market and goes to KSWD 100.3 FM. That's a full Class B signal that Entercom owns that is doing a classic rock format from up on top of Mount Wilson. It's been a standalone station in the market. Entercom hasn't owned anything else there. Before that, it was Radio 1's standalone station in the market. And it's tough being a standalone station in the year 2017. It's tough to try to get advertisers to pay to be on just one station when they can do a deal and be on an entire cluster of stations. And so that station is heading off to EMF to presumably be part of K-Love. And we say presumably because there's another interesting little twist happening that's specific to L.A., where Univision Radio has long owned the brand K-Love. They have a Spanish-language station there, KLVE 107.5, that has branded itself for decades. We're going back, I think, to the late 70s, early 80s here, that station has called itself K-Love. So Univision owns the rights to the name K-Love. EMF is going to have to do some negotiating to get the rights there. Up until now, all that they've run has been their secondary Air One format, which runs on several rimshot stations that all simulcast on 92.7 in and around greater Los Angeles. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out there, what the fallout turns out to be in L.A., whether they're able to get to use the name K-Love. I suspect they probably will. I think in an era of PPM ratings, it almost really doesn't matter that much anymore. There's not going to be any confusion between the people who are listening to EMF's English language religious K-Love format on 100.3 and the people who are listening to the Spanish language 107.5, even if it keeps the name K-Love. It's not going to make any difference ratings-wise. Whether it makes a difference promotions-wise, that's another story altogether. So we will see what EMF ends up doing there if they work out a deal with Univision to get the rights to be K-Love in Los Angeles like they are in most of the rest of the country. There is, by the way, one other market where they cannot be K-Love, and that's Dallas. So guess who owns the rights to the name K-Love there? Yeah, that's right. It's actually owned by Entercom, and so there could be some negotiating somewhere in there that could finally allow EMF to get on the air with a full-power K-Love in Dallas, which I'm sure is a market that they are just chomping at the bit to get into. So what does this mean in general for the state of the CBS and Entercom merger that we've been talking about so much here? Well, it means that there are still some markets left to be negotiated, in particular Boston. Boston was not part of this deal yet. Which is interesting because one would think, especially given the move that they just made in Providence, that EMF would probably really like to get a K-Love on the air with a full-power signal in Boston, too. It's one of the remaining top 10 markets that they're not in, and there are not many of those at this point. So could there be a deal coming yet that could involve what's left of the cluster in Boston that has to be spun off? And then also on top of that, there's Seattle and San Francisco and Sacramento that also have stations that will have to be spun off as part of this. K-Love doesn't particularly need Sacramento in particular. That's its headquarters city. They're already on the air there. but we shall see how that plays off. As a reminder, in Boston, here is what is at stake. You have the two competing sports formats. You have Entercom's WEEI on 93.7. You have CBS Radio's WBZ-FM, the Sports Hub, on 98.5. Sports Hub, by the way, has been in the news because they are looking for a new announcer for the Boston Bruins. Of course, the regular season for the NHL is just about to begin, and there is still nobody in position yet to take over now that they've lost their previous announcer who's gone off west to do TV for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So who's going to fill in? We've had a rotating cast of characters, including, among other things, Ryan Johnston, who's been doing minor league announcing up in Lowell and elsewhere. The Chicago Blackhawks, one of their announcers, actually did a tryout. So you could see a Chicago to Boston move coming at some point. It's also not clear that there will be a permanent play-by-play person in the Bruins booth as the season begins. It is possible that there could yet be just a series of temporary rotating replacements as we move into the season before they name somebody permanently. So we will be keeping an eye on that. By the way, we mentioned promotions there. One thing we have not put into the Northeast Radio Watch column yet, frankly, because I'm not even sure how to address it in print, are these unusual billboards, or this unusual billboard, I should say, that good old WFMU in Jersey City has been crowdfunding the money to put up. And the billboard has been doing what many would say it was exactly intended to do. They raised money to put up this billboard that has pictures of a couple of pop artists. I think Justin Bieber is up there. And then it says Manson, and it's not Marilyn Manson. It's actually Charles Manson, whose music occasionally, because he was a musician in the 60s before he turned into a psychotic killer, his music actually gets spun occasionally on WFMU because everything gets spun occasionally on freeform WFMU. It's a challenge because if you're a freeform station where you never know at any given moment what's going to be going out over the air, what do you put on a billboard to encourage people to tune in and check it out, knowing that probably there's a 50-50 or maybe even a 70-30 or an 80-20 chance that when they tune in, whatever they hear, they're actually going to hate at the moment, and you might have to try to get them back later. What do then? You try to just get attention for the frequency and get those dials on 91.1, and that appears to be exactly what they did with this billboard. It is indeed drawing reaction from people. There's plenty of social media comment about it. There are the usual condemnations of it. Is it going to actually draw listeners over to WFMU? I don't know. What draws listeners these days to radio? We're interested in your input on that. How do stations get themselves noticed? We're seeing one example of that right here in Rochester, where there is a brand new urban challenger to a longtime stalwart WDKX, which for 42 and a half years has been the voice of the black community in Rochester. Now there's an HD2 fed translator here, 105.5 The Beat, that signed on late last week. And it's interesting because I have friends who are not necessarily radio people. Some of them are at least media people, they're TV or print people. But I've been noticing them commenting on Facebook without any outside publicity. They've been saying, hey, what is this station on 105.5? Why is this playing the music that I want to hear all of a sudden? I'm going to ask them, and I'm very curious to find out how it is that they're noticing the station in the first place, because I certainly haven't seen much in the way of any kind of outdoor advertising around Rochester or any kind of outside publicity for it. Another HD2 on translator that has just launched in the region. We heard it testing as we were driving back up through Binghamton over the weekend. That would be Steve Galinsky's 102.5 on the west side of Binghamton. It's been a translator for years of his top 40 station, Magic 101.7, WLTB, and it has just broken away with its own format. It's now doing classic rock as 102.5 The Vault, part of a number of HD-fed translators there. So we'll be keeping an eye to see how that one does also. So those are a few of the headlines that we are taking a look at right now on Northeast Radio Watch and FiveBush.com. And, of course, over on our sister site, Radio Insight, you can always find all the headlines over there. It is the Top of the Tower podcast, a reminder that we are brought to you in part by the Tower Site Calendar. And Tower Site Calendar 2018 is now available for presale at FiveBush.com. You can get your hands on one of these just as soon as they are ready to be shipped out, and that's going to be next week, by the way. They are just about to get back from the printer. You can get one at a low pre-sale discount price, and you can have a great calendar on your wall for 2018 and support everything that we do here at FiveBush Media. So we appreciate your support for that. Get those orders in while the pre-sale discount still lasts. It's going to end over the weekend. But right now, you can get your hands on the calendar, see what kind of neat pictures are in there. I'll let you in the cover photo this year. As you may have seen on the website, Neat picture of Sutro Tower in San Francisco, which is always plenty photogenic. Oh, one more quick note about Sutro Tower, by the way. There's actually, and I don't think it's really serious, but there's this this odd proposal that's been floating out there, at least in the form of a conceptual drawing, showing all of the open lattice work space in Sutro Tower filled with luxury apartments with glass windows protruding from between the steel. I don't think it's really going to happen. But given San Francisco real estate prices, A, you never know, and B, they're probably not going to get great TV reception there. Back in a moment.
My hood, yo hood. Rochester's new number one for hip-hop and R&B.
WLGD2, HD2 Webster, W288CS, Rochester.
Can you feel it? 105.5 The Beat.
So there's a little bit of 105.5 The Beat, one of those new HD Fed translators that we have been talking about. Before that was even on the air, of course, we were downstate a couple of weeks ago, and one of the conversations that we had downstate was a sit-down with our good friend Howard Price. You heard Howard a couple episodes ago talking about this incredibly timely topic of disaster recovery, and even more so the preparation that stations should be doing so that they don't have to necessarily go through disaster recovery, but can rather go through disaster survival. Well, in addition to all of that, Howard is very involved with his local high school in Rockland County, and he has been busy trying to help them get a radio station on the air for whatever that means in 2017. We sat down with him and talked about his project for Viking Radio.
We are sitting in Rockland County, New York, which is how many hundreds of thousands of people now?
Probably just under 400,000.
So this would on its own be a pretty major market. And yet in terms of local media here that's covering what's happening in Rockland County?
Well, we have two very, very good regional cable channels that do news for this area. On paper, we have two local AM radio stations. I emphasize on paper because practically speaking, they just don't have the resources to serve the community in the robust way that those of us who grew up in the heyday of radio remember being done.
So you're working with your local school district here, the Clarkstown School District, on a project called Viking Radio. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's interesting. This started out as a blue sky project that I've been working on for about 3 years. The idea being that as a kid who grew up in radio, I started in radio when I was 17, when I was a high school intern. And I would not be in the professional realm I'm in now were it not for that experience. And I want to bring that joy, that fun, that magic, that marvel to a new generation of young people who don't understand that the radio I grew up with may not be the radio they listen to, but it's all still radio.
So you're in the process now of working with the school district, get a full-time streaming station up. This is more than just your ordinary kids playing radio. You've got big plans for this. You've got network affiliation. You're going to do sports. Talk a little about what it's going to sound like.
So when it's fully built out, and it's going to take us a while yet to do that, Viking Radio will be a student-run radio station with adult oversight. It's going to operate 24/7. We have been immensely blessed by an amazing amount of generosity from the professional broadcast community. Networks and stations and groups have given us their hand-me-downs, which, as anybody in the business knows, are quite serviceable most of the time. And these kids are going to have a chance to play on a huge array of professional-grade gear that will give them the experience they need when they actually graduate and go to college and get their own part-time jobs and launch their careers. They will have used the equipment that their professional colleagues are using now. We are going to have network radio affiliation. We are going to be carrying hourly newscasts. We have amassed some terrific resources for local news gathering. I like to joke that at launch we will have the largest radio news team north of New York City and south of Albany, and I'm kind of hedging my bets there, hoping that I will get the kids to be as passionate about that as I am. But practically speaking, we will be able to bring back local news gathering. We're very excited about the prospect of bringing high school sports back to the radio. We're convinced it's a big draw, and we just think we're going to be a really terrific information and entertainment resource, in that order, by the way, to Rockland County and the wider lower Hudson Valley, and the Pascack Valley in New Jersey, too.
What kind of interest are you seeing from the kids these days?
You know, it's very, very interesting, and I'll use my daughter as a perfect example. Unlike her brother and her parents, my daughter really doesn't have a great interest in broadcasting. And I had had in the house a couple of the consoles, really terrific consoles, that were donated to us before I had a chance to transfer them over to the school. My daughter took a look at these consoles and said, wow, you know, that looks pretty cool. What are those? And I explained to her what we use them for, and I said, do you think you'd be interested in using them and being part of the radio station? And suddenly the light bulbs went off. I joke with my friends that my daughter sits with me in the car and listens to Sirius XM and all the Decades channels, and she gets a chance to hear radio the way we used to do radio. And she's now as big a fan of the music as I am, and she's really excited about this. The word of mouth is beginning to build. I can't really give you any accurate figures as to, you know, whether or not people are pounding down the door to do this, but we believe that it's going to generate really surprising interest. And again, from the community point of view, I can't believe it's not going to be widely and enthusiastically embraced.
So how do you get the word out there?
Well, for one thing, a picture is worth a thousand words. So we are actually now in the process, the design process for the facility. We figure it's going to take us a good 6 months to get it where we want it to be. But we're going to create the space, and the faculty is going to begin talking up the program with students over time. I've engaged a tremendously generous group of professionals who have graciously volunteered to serve on a board of visitors who will actually come to the school or do Skype sessions with the kids, FaceTime sessions with the kids, to actually allow them to interact with literally some of the legends in our business. And I don't know who's going to have more fun, me or the kids.
Now, this has an academic program associated with it, too. Could you do it without one?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, we may very well launch this as a club just to kind of get the kids familiar with the equipment and the processes of doing programming and whatnot, news coverage, and then introduce a formalized curriculum to it. It is my intention to have this as part of a curricular program. I believe the school has fully committed to that too, and it's just a matter of now of getting the materials approved, getting the curriculum approved, getting the right faculty in place, and I think at that point we'll be able to make it a part of the greater TV radio program in the district, which, by the way, is renowned. It's one of the best in the area and probably one of the best in the state.
Is there any concern about sending kids off into an industry right now where the prospects are kind of uncertain for them? Are we setting them up for a future that we don't want to be setting them up for?
Let's talk about how you define industry. Remember how I began this conversation. It's not the radio that we grew up with, but it's still radio. We're talking podcasting. We're talking marketing. Let's go even beyond radio. Let's talk about how we want to get our kids to learn multitasking. How about we talk about teaching our kids a robust use of the English language, improving their writing skills, improving their performance skills, taking the shy kid and turning them into a social superstar. For us, radio was electrons flying out of tall sticks and, you know, coming out of a radio, a real radio. But the radio today comes out of a smartphone. It comes out of a tablet. It comes out of a desktop, a laptop. It can be in real time, as in a stream, or it can be as a podcast. How about taking kids who have particular interests, niche interests, that maybe perhaps they've had no other outlet for, and to let them go hog wild on a podcast talking about the things that they're excited about and get other people excited about? And in terms of a community, Scott, I don't have to tell you, there's no better way to address community issues than by having this full palette of tools, broadcasting and narrowcasting, if you will. To me, it's all radio, and that's what we're going to be teaching the kids.
Still looking for help from the industry as far as equipment?
I always have my hand out. So if any of my fellow broadcasters are out there and they're doing studio rebuilds or from a previous rebuild, they've got a couple of odd pieces that are still working, but they, you know, they're maybe not ready anymore for the kind of use that a professional station would give them, I am more than happy to accept their hand-me-downs with great gratitude.
And if people want to hear Viking Radio?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not prepared to tell you yet because we have to determine with the school district where it's going to live. I think it's fair to say that there'll probably be a page on the district's website with an embedded player. I don't know whether an alias, a freestanding alias, will be created in terms of a URL for that. I'm hoping that we will. I'm happy to say that the company that's going to be hosting with us gives us a free app. So we will have an app. I don't know. It's not in any app store yet because it hasn't been built yet, so I can't really direct anybody there. But you don't have to live in our school district to be able to hear this. It will probably be geofenced just to the United States in order to keep our music rights under control. But basically, if you're anywhere within the 50 United States and probably our territories, you'll be able to hear it.
Coast to coast from Rockland County.
Here you go.
Howard Price, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WLTV HD2 Johnson City Binghamton. Rockin' classic hits. 102.5 The Vault.
There's just a little bit of one of those other new translators, the Binghamton Magic 101.7, or actually now 102.5 The Vault translator, recorded just last weekend. Some fresh new audio for you here on Top of the Tower. And speaking of hearing some audio that maybe is not quite so fresh, if you want to get a sense of what radio sounded like in one of its golden ages, one of the great places to go is airchecks.com, AIRCHEXX.com, run by our good friend Steve West. And while we were at the radio barbecue that Bob Gilmore put on, that we had so much fun at a few weeks ago in Connecticut, we took the opportunity to pull Steve aside for a minute and talk to him a little bit about what makes airchecks.com go.
Now, you have a huge collection there of audio from all through the history of radio, but especially focusing sort of on this Top 40 era.
Mainly the Top 40 era. If I were to say a particular decade, I probably have more from an era from about 1965 up through the 1980s, late 1980s or so. And that seems to be where the most creative and some of the most talented people that got into radio and broadcast, oh my goodness, some of the most entertaining radio I think that's ever been produced.
Well, it doesn't hurt, too. That was an era where all of a sudden people had easy access to reel-to-reel and cassette to preserve this stuff.
They did. And prior to, say, the late 1960s, it was more difficult to archive. As you mentioned, reel-to-reel, there were really not that many people that recorded radio back in those days. There are some, and those tapes have been very well preserved, many of them. Other times, I get them on cassette copy, and maybe they've been dubbed a few times, but I can clean most of that up. Once the 1970s got rolling, people had portable tape recorders, portable cassette decks came out. I can still remember my father had one Panasonic model. It's a little table model, and it's a mini headphone jack in there. And I did my first air checking of WBZ in 1976 by plugging a little jack from the earphone jack on the radio to the earphone jack on the cassette deck. And I suppose that most people did it the same way. Some went to reels, of course. That was higher quality. Once the 80s came along, everybody had the big boom boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And people recorded the 80s. They recorded radio like crazy. And there's a lot of 80s tapes still floating around. I'm still getting donations of tapes that people want preserved for posterity, and I can't think of a better way to preserve this than online in a place where digital copies don't age, not like tape. So I'm trying to digitize as much as I can before these tapes get old and too brittle to bother playing.
What's the holy grail out there? What would you like to see come in the mail one day?
Oh, oh, that's a hard question. Now, you know, I thought I had an easy answer for that, but there's so much good material that just, it was archived and has never seen the light of day. There are stations like KHJ, KFRC, WLS Chicago, RKO in Boston, WMEX in its heyday. I'd like to get some really clear copies of Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg, DRC stuff with Dick Robinson. There's so many good artists. I call them artists.
They are artists.
They are artists. And they're overlooked artists. The DJs of the prime top 40 era are people that, unlike movie stars, they're not household names anymore. If you talk to the youth today about... who was Jefferson K? Well, Jefferson K was a DJ on KB Radio in Buffalo. Or maybe Charlie Van Dyke, who was on so many of the RKO General stations from Boston to CKLW in Canada and Windsor, Ontario, which was essentially a Detroit station in its heyday.
And a Toledo station, and a Cleveland station.
It was considered the Midwest, yeah. The upper Midwest Great Lakes station. Anything from the RKO chain is awesome. WABC with its fantastic reverb. I really can't tell you what would be a holy grail, because there's so much of it out there that I still want to archive and still want to preserve and get so other people can listen to this great stuff.
And that's an important thing, too. Talk a little bit about what people who are doing radio now in 2017 can learn from listening to, let's say, Jackson Armstrong ripping it up from 1973.
Jackson Armstrong from 73, either on KB, Big Ways when he was on that in the 60s. Jackson Armstrong is a perfect example of a DJ who can, off the top of his head, without scripting, without any hesitation, the minute the mic went on, he had just a way. You have to listen to it. And I suppose we're... with Jackson Armstrong, I think that the youth today, were they given a crash course in how radio used to be? And I say the youth, I think of the young baby DJs that are getting on the air now. There were no liner cards. There were few scripts. The DJs were able to play their own. They wouldn't play their own music. They would pick from the top 40 hits, but they were able to choose what order the songs went in.
They could at least give a flavor to it.
They could give a flavor to it. They could speak with an inflection that is discouraged on the radio today. They could talk over intros. They could talk out of intro or out of the end of a song, talk with the news guy and banter back and forth. And that's another thing. Today on top 40 stations, is outside of some tidbits or Hollywood bits in the morning show, there's really no news to speak of. After 9 o'clock, you can forget it. Mm-hmm. There's no news on FM, except NPR. That's how that works.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. NPR
speaking
is
as an NPR.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong. In fact, I think NPR has surpassed commercial radio in professionalism. And that's my personal opinion, the way things are. And it's not the personalities that's on the air today's fault. I think that radio today is, compared to the past, is rather bland. The music, nothing wrong with the music. You will always have the top 40 hits of the day. But talent is not encouraged to speak. They're not encouraged to be DJs. Not in the traditional sense.
It makes you wonder, you know, I still air check as I travel. It makes you wonder if anybody's ever going to want any of these recordings.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take a perfect example. I hear an air check of WLNG on Long Island. And I mean one from 3 months ago. And to me, it's as fresh and lively and exciting as anything I heard in the 1970s and the 1960s. It's an amazing radio station.
I can think of a certain air check at WLNG from about 3 months ago.
Absolutely can. And I think I know who recorded that. As a matter of fact, I think I know who was in the studio that day.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember as I was going around recording things on cassette in the early 90s, as I was traveling, thinking at that point, why am I still rolling this? This isn't as good as the classic stuff that I grew up with back then. Now I go back and listen to those tapes, and I actually see more now that I appreciate having recorded and think I'm glad I captured this.
Absolutely. The fact that I was in radio for so long, and to me, recently, and recently as far as live radio goes, would be up until I left Memphis 10 years ago. And it really, it was until about, well, I'd say just 1997, 98, when the first automation system started hitting. Up until that time, we were playing CD carts on the air. We had liners, but there was still a certain freedom that we had. And, of course, 1997 was a year after deregulation, and I'm not sure that those are disconnected. It's kind of interesting when you think about how automation and computer technology was there just almost simultaneous with the deregulation. And I don't think about that a lot, but that's something that just popped into my head. It's interesting.
I'll tell you mentioned WLNG, and, you know, for me at least, you know, having started in radio in the early 90s and mostly having done news rather than music, having the opportunity to sit there and just have an absolute empty palette that you could choose from. And here you've got, what, 10,000 songs in their library, and you could literally play anything next. And then anything next after that. And that's such a rare thing.
I can't.
Especially, you know, in 2017.
And you're making me want to go to WLNG.
Everybody should want to go to WLNG. But Steve West, we'll plug the site once again, airchecks.com with two X's. With two X's. We should plug also, of course, you and I share a common web designer in the personal Lance Venta and Radio Insight.
Yep. I have to say that Lance has been completely, how shall I say, responsible for the creation of airchecks.com. In fact, Lance was the inspiration for airchecks.com. I'll tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
This is an interesting story I've never shared with anybody. One day, back in 02, I had been one of the admins on his old discussion boards. And I innocently asked him, I said, Lance, do you know of any place that I might be able to put up a couple of air checks online? Basically, that's how I asked him. And he sends back, well, I'd be honored if you'd put them on my server. And I said, really? And that's how air checks started, with about 3 or 4 of my personal air checks that went up. And somebody caught wind of it. I can't tell you after that how it took off. I think I remember Matt Seinberg's Big Apple Air Checks. I had been looking at that, and I was like, I wish this guy had play links. And I emailed him, and he saw that, I'll send you a couple of tapes. Well, one led to another, and I have hundreds of Big Apple air checks on airchecks.com. Just now, I looked at the contributor list, and we are up to about 50 contributors. I can tell you exactly. As of this recording, there are 1,507 air checks. I posted that number 2 days ago. So,
cool.
That was it.
I've got about 3,500 cassettes sitting in the closet at home that
Well, we really need to archive some.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We need to talk. Steve West, thanks so much for being a guest here on Top of the Tower. Go check it out, airchecks.com, two X's.
Two X's. The pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Our thanks to Steve West for taking a few minutes to talk with us. That about does it for the Top of the Tower podcast, episode number 6. We are always interested in your feedback. Drop me a line. Respond on Facebook, on Twitter, at Any Radio Watch, or write in the comments of this post if you're looking at us on FiveBush.com. Happy to hear from you. A reminder that we are brought to you by FiveBush Media in service to the broadcasting industry. If you are looking to improve your station signal, add a translator, buy a station, sell a station, that's what we're here to help you do in an easily understandable way. Get in touch with us at FiveBushMedia.com. We're here to help. That's the FiveBush Media Podcast, Top of the Tower. I'm Scott FiveBush. Thanks for being with us for another week. We'll see you here again next Wednesday.